And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. Spotlight on Silver, the Wild Wild West, MIP, MVP, and extensions becoming more valuable. Also, want to welcome those of you watching on YouTube. I swear to God, if you're watching on YouTube and you do not go click subscribe to the channel, I'm going to ban you from YouTube. No more cat videos. No more rap battles. No more dumb conspiracy videos. None of those. Go subscribe. Click that little thing. It's just a little subscribe button. It's right there in the bottom. Or middle, or, you know, it's somewhere on the page. You can find it. I trust you. Today, March 9th, Get Over It Day. Get Over It Day was created by Jeff Goldblatt in 2005 after having trouble getting over an ex-girlfriend. Marcus, what's the best way to get over it?
Man, take your butt to sleep. Sleep is the cure for just about anything.
My
you
solution,
wake up. My solution is secure.
My solution also involved bed, but not maybe not the same thing. In this corner, let's get to our contestants. In this corner, the most braggadocious beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He writes Celtics.
22.
He reps Kings. He still believes in. I mean, you really still believe in Aaron Kraft, right? Like Aaron Kraft
could have been a lockdown guard off the bench in the league.
Which league?
The league.
Okay. Maybe the basketball tournament. Ride with him on Peloton at the Kid the God. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, how did you celebrate the Kings moving up to the 2 seed?
I woke up, looked at the standings, saw the Kings in second place.
You didn't stay up. You didn't stay up for Grizzlies Lakers? With the 2 seed on the line?
I did not stay up for that nonsense. Absolutely not. I woke up, texted the group chat that none of you fucks can say anything to me again.
And we just started talking shit about Dylan Brooks.
Team. And then everyone proved me to be a liar on that front. The Kings have proven me right.
He walked into it, man. He
opened the door for us and come on in, boys. All right. In this corner.
I was proud this morning, though, when I woke up.
Yeah. Yeah, look at you guys. You and your Sacramento ties. In this corner, the most versatile media member the Bay's ever seen. 3 books, long titles. Get them all in bookstores. They're fantastic reads. He's the friend from Frisco, the bro from Berkeley. He puts the sauce in Sausalito, the media in Alameda, the AO in Vallejo, the petty in Petaluma. My dog is hype manning him right now. It's Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, what was your reaction to the Kings moving up to the 2?
The Kings are 2?
For a day.
It was only a matter
yes,
of time,
are.
Baby.
Yeah.
It was only a matter. I poured out a little liquor for the Grizzlies who will start to descend in the West. That's an inappropriate metaphor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Well, you could have
kind of on point.
You could have
kind of on point, yeah. I don't know. Actually,
you know what?
The Kings have been gunning for that number 2 spot for a while.
16 years. All right, speaking of the Grizzlies, let's get into it. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. Spotlight on Silver. By now, you've consumed an unbelievable amount of content on the John Morant situation, right? We've addressed on a ton of every show we've done. We've written about it. We've broken it down. What exactly is at stake for Ja, the Grizzlies, and the near future of the franchise? The NBA's collective bargaining agreement is a little vague about what punishment would happen if Ja did in fact have a gun on the plane. It could be a game. It could be maybe up to 50 games. We don't quite know what the exact thing would be. Based on CBA Article 4, Section 9, a player that is present at an NBA facility or being used as by the NBA with a gun is a violation, and Section 12 states that if a player is participating in any activity involving firearms, they're subject to discipline. Ja hasn't had any formal discipline so far as of this recording, not suspended by the league or the Grizzlies. He's just taking time away. At this point, let's flip this a little bit. Let's not talk about Ja. Let's talk about Adam Silver. The spotlight is on Adam Silver in the NBA. What are they going to do? Whether the gun was on the plane or not, everyone is waiting to see how Silver reacts. So, Marcus, I'll ask you, what should we expect from Adam Silver in the coming days? I would add to that, Adam Silver, someone who notoriously wants to be good with players.
Nothing. Nothing's going to happen. He's going to be like, good job, Grizzlies. Y'all handled that.
You got it.
Y'all did well. Good job. And you know what? He shouldn't do anything. This is one of the situations where he shouldn't do anything. First off, I mean, can we talk about how shady this little CBA rule is?
Like, it's kind of. Oh, my goodness. Can we just call it the Gilbert Arenas rule, too?
Can we call it the, hey, we don't want young black dudes having guns rule? Like, people in the NBA don't hunt? Is that what you're telling me?
Look, Brad Miller once showed me a binder of pictures of animals he's killed.
Nah.
I mean, I thought you'd want to see this. And I'm like, Brad, when have I ever expressed hunting interest?
Did he have the binder in the locker room?
Yes, it was in his locker.
Like he just walked around with all the pictures of the animals he
killed?
It was
like deodorant, shoes, binder of animals he's killed.
You telling me Spencer Halls, they never went hunting? Come on, man. Like,
oh, man. Marcus, I want to say a joke so bad. But I'm not going to.
I'm just saying, like, it just feels like, and look, I'm from here, so I understand absolutely. Like, you see dudes carrying Glocks, it's like, hold on. I get a little PTSD from that. Mm-hmm. But it's America. Like, are we really criminalizing guns? Like, that are not being shot? Like, it's a weird thing to draw a line on and say 50 games. Like, that,
Gilbert Arenas, though, right? Bringing them into the locker room.
Yeah, but in the locker room, pointing them at people, like, well, I got all that.
Do you think the team playing should count as an NBA facility?
No, I mean, who's paying for the plane? Like, to me, that's just wild. Like,
that's where I'm like, all right, this is a weird gray area.
They can't defend the whole laser pointing situation and then come out and be like, but you had a blicky in the club. We can't tolerate that. Like,
God, I would love to see Adam Silver say, but you had a blicky in the club.
No, Adam Silver definitely said quote. That. That's a direct quote. He definitely said that, you know. You can't have a blicky in the club, right? I do think
for having a blicky in the club, you're suspended
for 50 games.
Like, you know, you say it all out of breath. Exactly. And everything.
I get a little bit like, come on, man. I understand these dudes are knuckleheads. There's danger, and I got it. But man, you guys are absolutely terrified. Terrified that they might have their hands on a gun. Oh no! You can't possibly touch a gun.
The way he held the gun didn't make me seem like he knew how to use it.
It's the most unafraid use of a gun I've ever seen. I've never been more comfortable.
He held it up like a Ziploc baggie. Like it was.
It was like it had like mildew on it. He's like, ew! I don't want to touch this gun.
Ew, not this gun.
Yeah, not this one. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, that's the most unthreatening holding of a gun I've ever seen.
Yeah,
but he's not gonna do anything. I feel like whatever Ja's going through and whatever the Grizzlies are doing, like that, let them handle it. That's enough. And we don't need the David Stern overreach to appease a base of an audience that actually shouldn't be appeased to.
Stern, I feel like Stern would have been out to get vengeance at this point. Like Ja had the one incident. Then he had the Pacers
David
incident.
Stern would have done the Gilbert Arenas. Like,
then he's on Instagram Live.
Ja.
Stern would have been.
Stern would have got him on the other ones, though. He would have got him on the other ones. That's the problem.
He would have been like, I don't care. Yeah.
Hold on. You were in the car with who? With who? What y'all have? What? 30 games.
The, I think Silver's going to take his time. He's gonna see what the Grizzlies actually do, because right now it's just Ja's away from the team. They haven't suspended him. They're just saying that he's
on vacation,
basically getting mental help for dealing with stress and whatnot, and whatever else. Taylor Jenkins kind of said, I'm splitting into this into two categories. One is the person who needs to get better, and two is something we take seriously with the gun stuff. But this kind of happened with the Kyrie stuff. It's happened with some other stuff. Silver kind of takes his time, lets the details come out, and then reacts.
I also think Silver kind of maybe it is due diligence, Jay, but I also think there's part of Silver is like, if I just wait long enough, people will move on to something else, and then whatever I decide is.
But this one ain't going away because
he's like, come on, guys,
he's gonna come back to the team.
Come on, Dream,
punch somebody.
Come on, Lee.
It could be Jordan Poole again after the reaction last night to Poole not passing the rock.
Joe Rogan podcast. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe check this out.
I don't know. There's a lot at stake here, honestly, with Silver's response. What does he do? What precedent does he set here? And then on top of that, there's a layer of the Colorado investigation into this,
sure,
which could bring God knows what else beside whatever the NBA does. I don't know exactly what those laws are or what.
And David Stern's NBA, Steven Jackson shot a gun outside a strip club and got 7 games. Like, he held a gun.
To be fair,
up.
I think hadn't he just gotten hit by a car?
But I'm just saying, like,
I think you shoot a gun in the air if someone hits you with a car.
Yes, you busted a gun. I'm just saying, like, if we compare, like, he held up a gun. Like, do we even know it was a gun? If that thing had an orange cap on the tip, I would believe it.
What's
going on with this club, though? What's going on with the club security?
If you told me you had video of David Stern flawlessly saying Blicky in the club, I would believe that. I think David Stern's got that in his bag. I think he's got that in the lexicon.
Let's just move on.
All right.
I'm sure Stern does.
Take two. Wild Wild West. As of Wednesday, seeds 9 through 13 in the West are separated by a game with Portland, OKC, and New Orleans. Oh, some bad Zion Williamson news, it sounds like. All tied at 31 and 34. Making the play-in would feel like a huge victory for many of these teams, but who's got the most to lose? Jay, which team at the back half of the West would be most devastated by completely missing the playoffs play-in altogether? And I'm not going to allow you to say the Lakers. It's got to be someone else.
It's not the Lakers. It's not. It's the Clippers. Imagine if you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and then you're in like fifth or sixth or whatever it was when buyout time came. Then you add Russell Westbrook and lose a million games in a row, and you end up missing the play-in tournament altogether.
We can't do this to Russ, man. We can't do this to Russ.
Russ might do it to himself.
We can't.
Man.
No, Russ has been fine. We can't let this be on Russ. Okay, I'm here for the jokes, Jay, but we can't let this be on Russ. This Clippers team is
unserious.
They are unserious as a team and have been since they got together.
Yeah, they have not ever come close to reaching their potential. They have not ever stayed healthy or really even been too committed to like finding what needs to happen for this core to work.
Isn't part of the unseriousness, though, like going to get Russ?
All right, look, you don't have to break this down and dissect it, Marcus. I just don't want all this to be on Russ.
The other part of the unseriousness was their roster before Russ had exactly zero point guards. Zero. Yeah. Like they didn't have a single point guard, and that's why Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were so adamant that they needed another ball handler was because they put together a roster that did not have a single point guard, that did not have a single guy who could put them into offense and take some of the pressure off Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Like, and at the beginning of the season, the two were Reggie Jackson and John Wall, who, again, unserious. So
I don't know. That first week of John Wall felt like something, man. It felt like something, Jay.
Yeah.
We were hyped.
You see the next one?
imagine if the 3-1
game, Marcus. It's continuing the games. That's tough.
Imagine if the 3-1 blown lead to Denver is the peak of the Kawhi Leonard era.
Well, they made the conference finals, but Kawhi was hurt at that point, right? Like, we knew they didn't have a chance. Yeah, that might be the peak. Goodness. Can a 3-1 first round? No, or no, you know what?
We've got to give them credit. They exposed Rudy Gobert more than any team has ever exposed Rudy Gobert. They showed the world of his fraudulence.
That's a good question. Who exposed Rudy the most? More than Jalen Brunson?
Because they did it first, though. They did it first. Like, they were the first team that was like, let's just go find out.
The Warriors kind of did it.
But it didn't count because they were the Warriors, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Everyone expects that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Maybe the Clippers did do that first. That's actually great. I might put that in the Bounce newsletter. Subscribe to the Bounce, theathletic.com/bounce. Marcus, do not ask what that is. Marcus, who do you think has the most to lose by missing the play-in tournament?
Golden State Warriors.
No, they're not. They're not in danger. Marcus.
Can you look at their road record?
2.5. Hold on. It's only 2.5 games out.
Look at their road record. They are 7-25.
What is happening on the road?
To me, they just don't play smart. They play like a team that feels like at any moment we're gonna start playing like champions. The shots are gonna fall.
So many times in that Thunder Warriors game Tuesday night, I just muttered to myself, "You idiots," because they just play stupid basketball.
It's bad, and they just do it, and they don't play like a team that, hey man, we have to win this game.
Right.
So let's play smart. They're like, oh, what? We made 2 shots? Here it comes. The Warriors are here. And then they take 4 more. And it's like, no, you just let the team back in the game.
4 more would imply they didn't turn the ball over stupidly.
Absolutely. So, right. Yeah. So it's like if they don't make the playoffs,
wow.
Think it won't be the same team. They're paying $350 million.
No, you can't. And it's not the Steph injury. That hurts, but it's not that.
They got a better record with Steph out, which is crazy. Like, when Steph gets back, they really turn up the craziness. Yeah. It's like, Steph's here.
He'll save us.
We're out here, baby.
We're good.
We're just chucking. Like, Steph's
let
here.
The
we
golden
right.
child do it. We got it.
How much do the veterans hate Jordan Poole, though? Like, that Draymond showing him up was the second time it's happened. Beyond the punch. Like, they clearly are just so frustrated with the way that
Steph
dude plays basketball.
When Steph did it, you knew, right?
Yeah,
That's when you knew.
If Steph can't hold it together.
But you know what? Here's what I love about Jordan Poole. You would love him too, Jay, because, like, the reason is because that dude don't have the... The kiss up gene I'm gonna be this arrogant, obnoxious player and I don't care. I'm nice. Y'all can't see.
I'm gonna steal.
And he was
a
like
line.
That as a rookie. Like, he came into the league like that, and he was like in the G League and stuff, and he was still like that.
I'm gonna steal a line from J. King and say Jordan Poole is good because he doesn't know how bad he is, just like Dylan Brooks.
And we'll never know.
All right, let's take a quick break, fellas. After the break, we discuss the MIP. We'll be right back.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back. Take three. Who is the most improved? On Wednesday, our own Josh Robbins, Kelly Eco, and Eric Name put a piece on The Athletic with a lengthy discussion on everyone's favorite award, Most Improved Player. What exactly constitutes most improved? Is it the biggest jump in counting stats, efficiency, 2K rating? Does having a winning record on a winning team factor into it? In this piece, players like Jalen Brunson, Lauri Markkanen, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Mikal Bridges are all mentioned. But Marcus, I want to know, who is your most improved player? You thought Jordan Poole was the most improved last year. So how do you go about choosing your MIP this year?
Yeah, it's still Jordan Poole. Like, you know how good you got to be to go from where he was last year to where he is? Like, this is all intentional. I don't. Here's what I hate about Most Improved. I can't stand the giving the award to somebody who was already going that way. And it's very, like,
the Ja Morant. Yeah.
Yes, the Ja Morant, he's a star. Oh, and he got, I mean, guess what? He got better.
MVP candidate. That's hard to do.
That's what he was supposed to do. That's who he is. So to me, I'm going with Lauri Markkanen. I like the sneaky ones. I like the ones you didn't know was coming. I like the surprise. I like the revelation, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, the whiteness helps. Like, I just, to me, to go and be like, oh, this, I don't know, who's the young guy who's like took a step up this year, like as expected?
Well,
I mean, as a voter,
assuming I'm still a voter this year, as a voter, I will not vote for a second year player. That's what you're supposed to get better in your second year. You're supposed to be like, all right, I've been thrown into the fire. Now let's see what I can do. Jay, who's your most improved player?
Oh, it's Markkanen. And it's Markkanen because he's been around for a while. He's been in different roles. He's been on different teams. And we never knew he could do close to this. I don't think he knew he could do close to this. And so with him, it feels like real improvement. Like, it's not just he got to a new team and was given more responsibilities, which I feel like Jalen Brunson is to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brunson has been playing amazing. He's helped transform
the
Knicks.
Like, higher usage rate, right? Like, yeah.
But it was just like he was extremely good for the Mavericks last year, and everyone kind of figured he'd be very good again and give him the ball more often, give him more responsibilities.
Nobody thought this, though. Nobody thought this.
But everyone knew Jalen Brunson was very good and would help a team. No matter what you thought about his contract, everyone knew he was, well, was very good. Lauri Markkanen was like, Nobody knew he had anything close to this. And he was an all-star. He started in the all-star game. Not that he should have started, but he started in the all-star game. And you just gave him credit and then took it right back. He started in the all-star game.
He shouldn't have. But he started.
He built a resume that he burned it.
I'm just saying, like with Markkanen, it feels like real improvement. He improved everything about his game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Brunson, it was just like, that's the dude he was. He just needed to rock more.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. I don't think Brunson showed this. Brunson showed this in the playoffs, and not that he didn't have a good year last year, but he showed this in the playoffs. I wonder, does that show improvement then, or is it improvement now to do it over the course of a season? Markkanen has shown some of this in the past. It's not like any of this is new. Maybe consistency and staying healthy has changed. I would say kind of the same for Shai. I think Shai a couple years ago, not last season, but the season before, was equally this good. It's just he got shut down, right? As they were tanking. So it makes me wonder, what is that improvement, right? Like, and maybe it is. I mean, Markkanen's probably who I would vote for right now, but I do think Jalen Brunson is right there. I think SGA is right there.
Mikal Bridges is like making a late run too.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I knew that Mikal Bridges was a scorer, but because he did in college, but I guess it's different on the NBA level for sure.
Yeah, I'd probably go SGA too, just because like he's risen to MVP candidate, like kind of out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere, like he was good.
Oh, kind of like a Ja Morant, maybe,
nah,
huh?
Ja was already there. Ja was already there. You were like, but he averaged 6 more points per game.
He averaged a lot more points per game.
He went from like 19 to 25. I just try to act like that's not a big jump. I mean, it's a big.
He went from 19 to 27.
Oh, it's eight.
On less than 3.5 more shots a game.
Would Halliburton fit into your guys?
Ooh, like, is Halliburton's a good. That's a good call.
Because he's been good, obviously, and he's been someone a lot of people saw as a future star. But like, he arrived, and he did it in a way that like lifted up that entire franchise.
He
deserved his All-Star bid.
Yeah, he also. I mean, you gotta factor in. You got to factor in that he has a category no one else has, which is sticking it in Wally Zerbiak's face. You know, he's leading that category in terms of
MIP.
I cannot give him most subjective. Improved while his shot looks like that. Like, he's got to fix his shot.
It's wet, though.
It's crazy. That's why he got traded.
Because like, people look at him and they're like, he can't be as good.
Like we know he can play, but nah, not that shot. Kevin Martin-esque, right? All right, coming up after the break. MVP discourse.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Take 4, MVP discourse. Ton of discourse about the NBA's MVP award. Who should or shouldn't be allowed to win it? It feels like everyone's weighing in on the debate. Specifically around Jokic being a viable candidate for his third straight MVP. Hasn't been done since Larry Bird in 1986. And of course, you know, if there's an MVP debate, Daryl Morey's going to whine about it, which he did after Joel Embiid dropped 39 on the Wolves in a win. He tweeted out, media, quote, The MVP should come from one of the best teams in the league. End quote. How they choose when their preferred candidate barely avoids the play-in tournament. And we've got a gif of a toddler cheating, trying to put a square peg into one of these oddly shaped holes in one of those toy sets. His words followed by that baby. Oh, my goodness. Just the whining. I'll say this, Daryl. I don't think you got your heart in this one. You put a lot more effort into whining about why James Harden should be the MVP. Feels like you're just going through the motions on this one. You really got to cry about it. You really got to cry about it here to make me feel like you care much as much about Embiid as you did Harden. And I know it's killing you. I know these rumors of Harden to Houston are just killing you right now. Just killing you. It's probably distracting from your propaganda for Embiid, who, by the way, is a viable option. But his team really isn't as good as the other two guys, right? Jokic and Giannis. That's much, much better. So, Jay, we've got controversy. We've got Daryl Morey whining like he always does about the MVP award. I'm guessing that unfollow is coming too, by the way, on Twitter. We've got that. We've got racial discrimination being brought into the conversation about voting. Jay, where do you stand on Jokic MVP discourse, and should he be the leader in the MVP race?
I'm so sick of all the MVP talk.
It sucks, man.
It has gone so fucking out of control. And the thing about it is, this should be a fun topic to discuss, yes, because we are discussing
sure
the most brilliant,
it sure
the
used
most
to be.
Brilliant basketball players on the world. Like, this should be, oh, do you prefer Jokic and his style of like feeding everyone and being an offensive ecosystem all by himself and averaging a triple double? Or do you prefer Giannis because he's a much better defender and he's also putting up stats that are like Wilt Chamberlain ish? Or do you prefer Joel Embiid because he's an absolute physical force,
a monster,
plays like Kobe in the mid post? Like, this should be so much fun to break down these three candidates and to just go back and forth about what you prefer, what you like, what you would rather have in a candidate. And instead, we're talking about race. And we're having Daryl Morey with these stupid fucking tweets. And it's just like, I just wish we would just show appreciation for all the candidates because they're all so fucking good. And if you pick any of those guys for MVP, I mean, I don't think you're really that wrong. Like, they're awesome. They're all awesome. They've all had great years. All their teams have had great years.
I agree. All of them, except for Jokic.
Ooh. Marcus doesn't like the white guy. Shocker.
Except Lauri Markkanen.
Marcus, why don't you think he should be the MVP?
I picked Lauri Markkanen because I knew this was coming, so you can't. I was covering.
Oh,
myself.
You're always playing. You're always playing 4D chess with us.
You know what? Jokic is incredible, man. You know what I love?
He's ridiculous.
But I even more than his game is ridiculous. I love his personality. Like, do you get the sense that he cares about any of this? Like, he's
no.
I don't think he cares about
like,
anything.
I don't think he cares about.
He
any
cares
of this
about
stuff.
Horses. That's all he cares about.
I love that. This dude got like people. Like, he's gonna be the center of an American race riot, and then he's gonna go home
just unbothered. Just completely unbothered, unaware. He's probably got laundry hanging on the other two awards. Like,
it's about to, we about to have a straight revolution centered on. Jokic getting the award. No, he's like, I'm out, y'all.
You
out.
Know what the annoying thing is? And I can't remember if I've said this publicly or not before, but Jokic is awesome. His fans suck. Like, that's the thing. Like, and it's not just him. Like, it does speak to what you said about this used to be a fun thing to talk about, right? Like, fans in general just get so, and maybe this is a way of getting noticed, right? And media definitely has a part to play in this, but like, you have to say something incendiary. Oh, how could you give it to Giannis? How could you give it to Embiid? How could you give it to Jokic? It's got to be like, you know, it can only be this pick. And it's a thing where it's just like, you know what the most fun thing to do is? Debate something, no one gets to use their phone. Like, have you tried that recently?
Nah,
talking about something at like a bar or a get together or something, debate something and no one gets to pick up their phone and look anything up. You can say anything. It's wild. I could tell you Giannis is averaging 35, 15, and 8 this season, and you don't get to pick up your phone to check it.
Google killed my buddy TJ because he used to come up with fake stats.
I used to do that.
So I'd be like, he averaged 23 points a game in 1997. Yeah. And then
all you got to do, is be right about one. Like one time. They looked it up. It was like, oh, you're right. Now you know. Oh, yeah. No, he knows. He knows.
Yeah.
That's it. They can say whatever.
You would argue for hours in a bar, and then you had to go home and check a fucking almanac. That's what you had to check.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Those were the days.
I used to have the almanac. I used to read that when I was taking shits.
Absolutely.
The basketball almanac, the big old blue thing. Yeah, remember that?
I used to memorize the baseball cards, memorize the stats. You had to. I'm going to sound hella old on this, but I do feel like we just don't know how to talk anyway.
We don't
know how to do this stuff. Like,
we don't.
And part of it is a lot of it has to do with social media and like the denigration of conversation, but like the best way to make an argument now is literally by tearing down somebody else. Like that's the best. Like we could talk about the difference between Jokic and Giannis all day, and it should be a great 5-hour. It should be like us debating Michael Jackson and Prince back in the day, or Biggie and Pac, right? Like, and we could go for hours about like Prince was
Michael
a great
Jordan,
musician. Yeah, no. Watch it. But we should be able to do that. But now you can't. And part of it is because people just don't even acknowledge the real reasons why they want to. What's wrong with saying Jokic is a chubby white dude dominating the league of athletes, and I root for him because of that? What's wrong with that?
Just be honest about it.
Yeah, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
If I was 7 feet tall, that'd be me. And that's why I like
him. No question. It's why people love Steph, because you look like you could run into him at Chipotle. Like, people like the fact that he looks like kind of a regular dude compared to everybody. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. But now, when you say, like, listen, when I watch the Olympics, if you ain't American, I'm rooting for Africa every time. Like,
I root for Usain Bolt.
And if it's America against a country who needs this win more, then I'm rooting for it. Like, all right, we good out here. Like, we eating. Let them get their moment, right? Like, okay, yeah. So there's no like crime, but we don't know how to have the conversation.
No.
So we can't. We don't know how to talk to each other, so we can't like be honest with that. We can't say, you know what? I like how he doesn't celebrate everything.
Just say I'm not the GM for those other guys, so I'm gonna shit on him.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just admit it.
The media's doing this. The media's doing that.
Were you complaining about the media when we gave James Harden the MVP? Fuck no. Get out of here.
Love the media. Love
that. Then you loved us.
It would be so easy to be like, you know what? Jokic is an absolute wizard. He's got the Nuggets, who are a flawed team at the top of the West. But I like Giannis because he plays a little more defense.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Like, you know what? Giannis is having an amazing season, but what Jokic does for that offense, the way he lifts the players around him, is just different. So I'm going to go with him. Like, cool. That'd be great. That'd be so awesome if we could just have chats like that. Just appreciating the brilliance of these three guys who are having magical basketball seasons. All of them are having magical seasons.
I think a knock on Giannis is he makes us watch Grayson Allen a lot more. It's a strike against him.
It's a flaw. All right. I mean, it's a flaw.
Take five. Extensions valuable again?
Why you got to blame the black guy for Grayson Allen, huh? While we still suffering from...
That's actually a good point.
Expand on that, Jay.
No, it's just a great point.
Last week, our own Shams Charania reported on the NBA's CBA negotiations and the issues at hand. One is the ability to pay players more on extensions. Increasing the contract extension limits, which would add flexibility and have significant effects incredibly quickly. Under the current CBA, teams and players can only increase the player's salary by 120% in the first year of a new extension unless the player qualifies as a designated player, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they're trying to make extensions worth more money and possibly longer.
You mean going back to how they used to be before they changed the CBA to cut it down?
Yeah, where they're like, well, we can't have this. And now they're like,
we can't have 6 year salaries with Antoine Jameson making $88 million. Can't do that.
Exactly. Marcus, do you think this is a good idea, a good solution for teams looking to keep players in market and out of free agency?
They are so unbelievable.
They're so stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
They're so stupid.
It's like, it was 10 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. You were just complaining about this. I don't understand. How about stop complaining about players moving so much? Like, that's what you're talking about. We don't want players
also,
to leave.
You keep trading players that sign extensions.
It's like, just say no. Like, what do you want? Do you want to pay them too much for too long, or you want them to be able to leave? Like, which one is it? There is no formula with both. There's no formula with both. Mm-mm. Either pay them and you might get stuck with a dude making way too much money for 6 years. Then you come up with amnesty. Remember amnesty?
Oh, we got to get out. I loved amnesty.
Like, oh, my. Amnesty, you guys are unbelievable. You guys are. And then they use it on Charlie Bell, a 1 year deal with $4 million.
That's like, why you're upset.
These dudes are, these dudes are constantly. They're like shucking and jiving. They don't know what they want to do. They complain about something new every CBA. It's like, pick what you want. You got to pick one. Either I want the ability to keep my guy for a long time, and if I miss, I miss. That's it. Or you let these guys go. But you can't have both. We can't cover for all of your mistakes with a document. Like, stop being an idiot, make good moves, and pick a side. It's really that simple.
Why should we make this easy? That's the thing where, like, winning should be hard. And many franchises prove it to be hard. But winning should be hard.
It should be that hard, huh? Charlotte's like, hold on, Mike, like, come on, man. Y'all didn't say it was this hard.
I'm going the other way. I think this is a great idea. I think this is a great idea. Because the extension rules, the way they're set up, it's like, if you identify the player and he becomes great and you have him on this value deal, you can't keep him just because he got too good. Because he got too good in your organization, you can't afford him on a contract extension, and then he's going to hit free agency. Like, why are we not allowing teams to keep the guys that they draft?
Who said they can't? That's what the Larry Bird exception deal. Is. That's what the Bird exception is.
I know, but you let him go to free agency. You never know what could happen. I think if you're gonna let some players sign max extensions, then anybody should be able to sign an extension of any level. Like, why are we limiting these extensions? Just because the owners will do stupid stuff and they want to save themselves from doing stupid stuff.
That's what the Supermax extension was about, right? Mm-hmm. They got the library. They got all these things that are designed. Exactly. They're all going to backfire. This is one thing a Warriors executive told me years ago when they tried to come up with the rule because they were mad about Kevin Durant. You pick the rules. We're smarter than you.
Right.
Like, no matter what rule, no matter how you change it, like, they got Kevin Durant and stayed under the cap. either you're good at this or you're not. Like, the answer is to find people who are good at this, right? Like, I mean, how does Boston have that team? Like, somebody, you got to be good at it. Like, the league is driven by small markets and dumb GMs. That's who makes the decisions, and that's what's wrong. Like, no, you got to be good at this. There's no magic pill to make you better at this. Like, it's not gonna happen. Hire Zach Harper.
Yo, I will give you a squad. Oh, they might not be very good.
Imagine the press conferences.
We will pack.
Yo,
oh my God.
I want Zach Harper as the president and Jay King as the GM, and we got to record all the meetings.
The NBA could not handle us.
We got to record
They'd
all
be
the meetings.
Fucking scared.
I want to see.
We
Jay
would have
King.
A squad.
I want to see Jay.
John Conchar would be fucking killing for us.
That's what I want to see.
Is that the first name is John Conchar?
I was thinking.
That's the first name you came up with?
I want to be there for the moment when you trade Dylan Brooks and he comes storming into the office. Like, how did you get rid?
Yeah,
how did you get rid?
No offense to the Memphis front office. You guys have done a phenomenal job. Jay and I are taking over. You want this job situation handled? We got it. You want that team built into a champion? We got it.
Move
and it
on.
It starts by moving Dylan Brooks the fuck out of there.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Look, I will get fired. I will get fired day
you're
one.
You're already fired. Honestly. You're out. I'm the president. You're the GM. You're out.
I will get fired day one.
This is the conversation.
You. I would literally
Dylan
fight
Brooks
you.
To a team for a fucking fax machine, okay? I need nothing in return.
It's just
trade player exception that I will not
the,
use.
The
I promise not to use. And a
physicality.
Fax machine and a beeper. Yo, that's what I want.
This is the TV show we need right here.
That would actually be a hell of a TV show. Make sure. Just two idiots running an NBA franchise into the ground.
I watched it. It was called the David Kahn era. All right. Make sure you subscribe to all podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure
I'm
you subscribe
a manna from heaven.
To the Bounce, the essential NBA newsletter for free, theathletic.com/bounce. Subscribe to the YouTube channel that you're on right now. If you're watching us, make sure you listen to all of our podcasts, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and of course, The Bun and Cardigan Show. For Jay, for Marcus, for Schleck, I'm Zach. See you next time on Point of Contention.
Jay absolutely pressures you by drafting Johnny Flynn.
He's not totally pressuring shit.
Like, no.
Zach is like, we gotta get Steph Curry.
He was like, put that evil on me. I was the biggest Steph Curry guy at Davidson. Are you serious?
We're getting Ben Hansbro with the sixth pick.
A Jimmer Fredette would have been on our roster for sure.
Fuck, he would have. I saw his ass got exposed by Kawhi.
But we would have drafted Fred VanVleet first round, though.
We definitely would have done that. Yeah, I'm with that.
We would have drafted Fred. Someone asked me about my favorite college players ever. I typed out the list.
Oh, God.
Honestly, like, this team would be legit. Okay. Mateen Cleaves.
No.
Jamal Tinsley.
Oh, yeah, Mel.
Joe Kim, Noah.
Okay.
Andre Miller.
First off, you know Cleaves and Tinsley play the same position, right? Like.
Yeah, I'm not saying we'd have them all at the same time.
Okay.
These were different eras.
I'm about to be like.
Pepe Sanchez.
Pepe was a problem.
We would have won games with Pepe Sanchez. Yeah. Jay Williams. Shane Battier.
Well, the Jay Williams one would not have worked out.
Taylor Coppin-Rath?
No, not Coppin-Rath.
Come on. Coppin-Rath would have been a killer for us.
No.
Him and Conchar.